So I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles today. It's that blue book right there. We can buy them in other colors. They just got blue. Turn, I think it's in your book, around 88. There are like 9 sermons in here. I'm going to try just to preach 2, which for a pastor would be pretty good. But I want to tell you a couple of things to notice, that 1 through verse 10 is a dialogue between Nicodemus and Jesus. And then it changes around 11, where it says, "Very truly we speak what we know and testify what we hadn't seen, yet you." It changes to more of a dialogue with people that are yet to come. And the "you" there means you all. So in some ways, it's a letter to us. Especially, it's speaking to people in the future. It's plural. Y'all was how you'd really say it. So pay attention to that. And one of the most famous verses is 17. "Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world." And 16, "God so loved the world." Those two verses, 16 and 17, are very important. Probably the best known, Martin Luther, who started the Reformation, the Protestant church, said those two verses are the gospel in a nutshell. So if you're going to memorize a couple too, 16 and 17, fabulous. Okay, I'm stopping. Now I'll actually read the scripture. Here's the reading. "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, the leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.' And Jesus answered him, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?' And Jesus answered him, 'Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, but what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you will hear the sound of it. But you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' And Nicodemus said to Jesus, 'How can these things be?' And Jesus answered him, 'Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you all, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. Yet you all do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, for whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, Now, when I was a young person, really young, like junior high and senior high, I kind of thought Nicodemus was a bad guy. He was thick, at the very least, stupid, so to say. I mean, first he snuck in and came into night to talk to Jesus because he was too ashamed. That showed his bad character. And then when Jesus told him who he was and what he was about, Nicodemus just didn't get it. If I was there, I would have understood, is kind of what my young spirit was saying. But what I realize as I get older, the truth is the world is not so black and white, not so clear, and I probably would have had plenty of questions too, and I still do. When I was young, I kind of wanted the world to fit. I wanted to understand it. But as I've gotten older, I figure I understand less as I understand more. Where I find the world has much mystery in it, and I have to live within that. So I find myself really liking Nicodemus as the adult I became. I mean, Nicodemus is the patron saint of seekers, of those that search, of those that long for meaning, for truth. He's on a spiritual quest, and Jesus takes him seriously and leads him in the path of faith, to wholeness, of knowing about and embracing and experiencing God's love. And it's a path that we, y'all, are invited to walk. I mean, this story of Nicodemus happens early in the book of John, chapter 3. There's been one miracle before this, the water turning into wine, and you know that Nicodemus has heard about that, may have had some friends at the wedding. Jesus has been talking, and surely he's heard the things that Jesus has talked about. And he wants to hear from him. And I want to say first, Nicodemus is interesting. He's from the highest governing body. He's learned, he's respected in the Jewish community, and he wanted to know more about this one who came from God. I mean, he was a well-established man. And what I didn't realize when I was a kid, and really as a young adult, I thought coming by night was kind of hiding or being sneaky. But the first hearers of the story would have understood it in a different way. There was something for rabbis and teachers that saw night as a perfect time to study, to discuss the deep questions of the heart, because no one would bother you, it was quiet. And it seemed that that's when some of the best conversations came. So Nicodemus could have been coming at that time wanting to have a really in-depth, uninterrupted conversation with this other teacher, the other rabbi named Jesus. And so we enter this conversation when two teachers are having a conversation about the kingdom of God. And I have a friend named Laura Mendenhall who helped me just look at this passage in a new way. Laura says that Jesus really knew that the how-to questions that Nicodemus was asking were not really the ones that he wanted answered. The questions which had driven Nicodemus to go visit Jesus to have this private time at night were probably more around the lines of who am I and why was I born and where do I belong and how do I keep peace with who I am. These are kind of the questions that keep one up late at night. However, the only questions that Nicodemus really knows how to ask are the practical ones. See, Nicodemus in some ways kind of thinks like an accountant. He wants to keep a ledger of questions. And he wants to keep the questions, have them answered and added up, and then he can believe. Give me the right answers, and when I get enough, I'll know they are true. And Jesus just won't answer these kinds of questions. Instead, Jesus tells Nicodemus a story about a birth, a story of being born by the Spirit. Jesus sees, or really senses, that Nicodemus is seeking his presence with a thirst to know more. And he's kind of saying, you're right, you are in the presence of God, and very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born from above. I mean, really, it's a strange, unexpected reply. And you can't understand why Nicodemus is confused by it. I mean, really, how can one be born after being old? Really, look how big I am. This is not going to happen, Jesus. Really? And because Jesus is speaking to a real practical man. I mean, he wants proof. He wants answers. And the question he gets just makes no sense at all. And before I want to give Nicodemus a hard time, it's really not his fault. The word born from above or born from again can be translated a couple of ways. Now, we do that too. When I say the word plant, it could mean a nice little growy thing. Or it could be a factory. So there are words, unless you know the context, they're hard to understand. And Jesus is talking in a kind of subtle way here. There are a couple ways to understand this word. One is born again, like a second time, like you're going to do the whole thing again, you're going to repeat it, a physical rebirth. The other way is to see it as born from above, from God, from the top down, kind of anew. They're subtle. One is very practical, born, you know, a second birth. The other one is talking about born from above, from God. It's not quite an either or, but Nicodemus, he just gets the literal and he misses it. He misses it. And so I don't fault him for that. And Jesus, he wants him to know more. He wants his faith to go further, to not live with an easy answer, but somehow to learn to abide in the mystery of God's love. And that's a hard one. He wants him to know about a God who loved the world so completely. And Nicodemus, though, he just can't get off that how-to. The questions then confused him that Jesus answered him with. Nicodemus wants the proofs to line up and arguments and a clear conclusion, then he get it. And I get people, can you just prove God is real for me? No. I can tell you what I've witnessed, I can tell you what I've seen, but I can't, because if I did, I'd be handing that out and the church would be really boring, I think, to tell you the truth. I mean, interesting thing is Jesus, you know, Nicodemus is having a hard time understanding, and then he starts talking about water and spirit. Oh, really? That helps a lot. And then he starts talking about the wind. Jesus told Nicodemus that faith is born of the Spirit, a spirit that blows like a wind, that blows where it chooses, that blows and we hear the sound of it and we don't know where it comes or where it's going. Jesus told Nicodemus that the life of God's kingdom cannot be earned or achieved. You're simply born into God's kingdom, and you're born into God's love, and that spirit, that wind, cannot be controlled or calculated. It was very confusing for Nicodemus, who was one who knew rules and security and how to do the right things. And so Jesus tried to turn Nicodemus away from the how-to questions. And he told him a story of birth. He told story to Nicodemus of that to be born of the wind means allowing the Spirit to propel him along the way without any care about his old securities. To be born of the Spirit means trusting that God's love is for him and for all people. Oh. Says he's saying to Nicodemus, it's not about what you do. You cannot give birth to yourself. You cannot make it happen. God is the one who breathes life into you and gives you birth from above. And at your birth, blood was shed, and it was not your blood. The blood you get comes from the one who comes to give you eternal life. It's so wild. It's like the wind. And I decided when I would work on the sermon, it's so stupid sometimes, I decided I would look up and I would understand wind. Really, I was going to tell you about wind and God. Really, you're not able to understand it, and I still wanted to look it up to explain it to you. I read a lot of stuff and I know I understand nothing. But I understand, again, am reminded, what we know about the wind is what we feel and what we see and what we encounter. And wind shapes things. Wind molds things. Wind can cause whole deserts to come in some areas and then shift away. In New Mexico, they have figures in rock called hoodoos. I'm going to try to explain a hoodoo to you. Erwin's looking at me like, Maggie, no, it's going to work, Erwin, it really will. A hoodoo is a strange rock formation that kind of looks like a giant cucumber in the middle of a flat place. It's just like this big stone, odd-looking obelisk. And it happens because the wind blows around a mountain for hundreds of years and shapes it, and all that's left is that core, the strong core. And it's this massive reshaping. And in centuries to come, that hoodoo, that structure, will fall down too. What is it if the same God who reshapes mountains, the thought is that God is going to reshape us, is going to carve us into something new. And that's what, in some ways, Jesus is inviting Nicodemus to do, to let himself be reshaped by God, to kind of reframe or reshape his understanding of a God who loves him so greatly. He's saying, let God's love reshape you, blow on you, form you, maybe sometimes push you too in different places. It's being about reshaped by the Spirit of God who blows where it will and probably will blow you where you don't want to go. If you're a little uncomfortable, that may be a gone thing. It blows in a big way, in a big love. For God so loved the world, the entire human race, God loved and God gave. Notice that God doesn't ask the world if it wants the wind, if it wants the love. It just is a recipient of the love. God goes ahead and loves the people that want to be loved and those that don't. And that love changes us. And it wants us to be one that reflects in that love. It wants us to have life abundant or life eternal. Now, usually when they hear eternal life, they think it's always like when I die, I'm guaranteed a really good room in the mansion of God. But for John, he thinks eternal life is really the right here and now. The kingdom come, your will be done. Will you be reshaped, born anew into God's love? And the only evidence we see of that is a changed person. If you just say to someone, I am a Christian, and look at me, and you are still doing awful things, they're going to go, really? Don't believe it. What we do, how the wind blows us, will be the evidence of a changed life. And when Nicodemus allows himself to be born of the wind, things change for him. He's mentioned two other times in this gospel. First, when Jesus is arrested, Nicodemus kind of gets brave and says, I think we don't have the authority to judge Jesus. He speaks up to his peers, and then they kind of make fun of him, and he's quiet. But he speaks. I mean, that's pretty tremendous. And then when Jesus dies, he's there when Jesus' body is going into the tomb, and he buys 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe to anoint his body. You know, five would have done. He buys so many. I think he buys it out of love and out of regret because he had been shaped by the wind. It probably wasn't perfect, but he did become bold. He did follow in small steps. And tell you the truth, I kind of like that better. Because I like someone who is getting it some of the time and not all the time. Because you're probably going to be surprised, but your pastor is not perfect. She many days forgets to pray at all. But God still uses me. See, I like Nicodemus like that. He doesn't get it, but he doesn't give up either. And I think that's a good one, friends, for us. And what would it mean if we understood that we were born of the Spirit? Most of us think we know who God is, who God calls us to be, what God calls us to do. What if we stopped telling God what we knew, and recognized that God is bigger than our naming of God? Then what if we started to listen to God's word sweep over us without any direction or hints from us? What if we didn't hold back when the wind pushed us and tried to recognize what might be possible? I think it's an interesting idea. What if we tried to be children of the wind? May that be so. May God offer us at a new birth. And may that wind of love, that wind of God, kind of fan that dimming ember of faith we might have in our lives and move us to commitment. May that wind blow in weary, tired people and give us some refreshment to get up and move again. Maybe that wind will nudge us and push us and make us go where the wind wants us to go so that we may know this God of love. May this God blow through the pastor, the choir, the congregation, the visitors, and blow us outside. Blow us to show God's love in this world. Amen.